This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing a lot of sports with you on a Thursday afternoon. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So send us an email, give us a call, talk sports with us. Now, this is the last day. We'll be giving away your chance to register to win tickets today. We'll give the tickets away later on in today's program. Give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, for your chance to win tickets to MSU football game tomorrow night against Boise State. So some lucky person will be getting two very good seats to win two tickets, and that you get great seats for tomorrow night's game. So once again, give us a call at 353-5000. That's area code 517, and you can register at least up until 2:30. We'll take calls up until then, and you can register for your chance to win tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, let's talk a little football right now. We've got a good friend, a long time. We haven't heard from him in a long time, but he was working elsewhere, but now he's back in the Mid-Michigan area. Glad to have Steve Kornacki back with us. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. Good to be back with you.
Yeah,
it's good. It has been a while, but we're back.
Yeah, it's great. Great for you to have you back here in Michigan and covering the Spartans. So, you've had a chance to look and hear a little bit about the Spartans this week. So what's your take on this year's team?
Well, it's a team that I think that it'll come down to how good their passing game is in terms of how great they can be. I think they're going to be a very good team based on their defense. You're not going to have a bad team as long as you have that defense. And based on the potential they have for the running game with an experienced line and Le'Veon Bell coming back, it looks like they've got a pretty good running game. Now, if Andrew Maxwell is as good as the coaches think and some of these young receivers step up and fill some big shoes for folks that have gone on to the NFL, yeah, I think they'll be one of the best teams in the country if they have the passing attack to balance the running attack. And it'll be interesting to see how that comes together, because it's not as easy as folks think to get on the same page and to develop that kind of sixth sense for one another that Kirk Cousins had with his receivers.
Exactly, yes. And I'm a little bit worried because we really don't know that much about Boise State. I mean, we know they've got some good players in their program, but they had so many graduations last year, and there are not many players left, even though they've got some film on some of the guys and how they played last year. But we really don't know how good this Boise State team is going to be.
Right. I mean, it's you only have six starters back and your quarterback is gone. It's almost like a clean
sleep. Yeah.
You know, but they have the reputation of winning, 10, 11, 12 games a year, and they've been doing it for, 4 or 5 years now. So you would think that the talent is there, sort of like you would think that, the Michigan State passing attack will be good because they've got good people there waiting in the wings. And so it'll be quite a coming out party, I think, even more so for Boise State than Michigan State, because basically their whole team is okay, here's our chance. How good are we? They could have a great team, or they could fall off a little bit from where they've been. It's just so hard to tell.
It is, and being that it's the first game of the year, and we know Boise State, like Michigan State, they have a lot of trick plays in their arsenal. So I know we have to be aware for some of the things that they'll run, but I know they'll have to be as aware for some of the things Michigan State has done over the years. So both teams, we might see quite a few trick plays in this first game, probably a little bit out of the ordinary, but I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen.
I think you're right, Earl. And I think that, Michigan State's shown that, they'll pull something out of the hat.
Yeah.
Right when the game's on the line, they've done it quite often. And Boise State does it quite regularly. So it should be a pretty entertaining game.
Yes. Hey, Steve, now are you covering just Michigan State, or are you covering some other things?
I'm focusing on Michigan State, and I'll be spending quite a great percentage of my time there, but I'm going to be doing a little bit with the Tigers. I'll be writing some columns about the Tigers as well. I've covered the Tigers at three different junctures over the years, and quite familiar with the club they have now. I covered them from 2008 through 2011 for the booth newspapers in the state and MLive.com, the Grand Rapids Press and the late great Ann Arbor News and the Flint Journal and five or six other papers. So I'll be doing a little bit on the Tigers.
Yeah, that's good because I know you're very familiar with the Tigers. After, like you say, after covering them all those years, given a lot of great coverage to the Tigers. So it's probably only natural that they throw you in on the Tiger beat. Was it difficult at all for you? As I know, it's very difficult getting jobs in this business. Was it difficult getting back in the business, getting back up here in Michigan?
Well, what happened is I was down in Florida for a time. I left the business. I had a nice offer down there, and you know, once you get journalism in your blood, you, after about 3 months, you say, "Hey, you know what? I really miss it."
Yeah.
So I contacted some folks who I knew, and in fact, it was Mario Mpemba who does the Tiger broadcasts for Fox. Is a good dear friend of mine, and he was a person I talked to. He said, "Well, would you be interested in writing for FoxSports.com, our website?" And I go, "Yeah, absolutely." And he put me in touch with the editor there, Mike Happy, and we forged a pretty quick relationship. And I helped out with their spring training coverage, and then, you know, as the season wore on, they got me a little more involved in writing from Florida about the Tigers. And so, you know, a good relationship was fostered, and I'm really excited about it. I know a lot of the people there, and you know, it's so it took off for me. I was fortunate.
Yes, Steve. I mean, I know you and I were around a long time ago, when radio and newspapers were very popular. Now newspapers, we just don't have that many newspapers anymore. So it's good that you're back in the area and covering sports, covering Michigan State and covering the Tigers. But boy, are you surprised at all just about how newspapers have been downsided? We just don't have that many newspapers anymore.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, I thought over a long period of time there would be a decline, but, you know, when the recession hit with the, you know, combination of people's reading habits changing and folks looking more online for their news, it was sort of a double whammy. In the late to mid, you know, about 2006 to 2009, there were just tremendous changes in the newspaper business. And you know, I was shocked when the Ann Arbor News closed. I mean, that was a paper that we worked at for 8 or 9 years. And, you know, and as vibrant a community as Ann Arbor is, to think that they don't have a daily newspaper, just, I can't quite get my arms around that. You know, it's hard to realize that that's happened. And other papers in the state have gone to publishing only 3 days a week. And papers around the country have done that. I have friends at the Birmingham News in Alabama and the New Orleans Times Picayune. And those papers have just gone to 3 times a week. You know, those are major newspapers that have gone to just 3 times a week publishing. And so, you know, people are looking to get their news online now. And it's just an adjustment that, you know, that people have to make and that folks in our profession have to make. And so I feel fortunate to have, you know, connected myself to a good website. And I look to make an impact for them, and I think there's a lot of great things to read on that website.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Steve, let's talk a little bit more about the Michigan State game coming up tomorrow night. We've got, of course, we know the college football season is starting tonight. A lot of games going on tonight, but the, you know, Michigan State starts tomorrow night, and some of the Big Ten teams are going on tonight. When you look at the overall schedule for Michigan State, it looks like it has a they're pretty tough schedule. They've got Boise State, and then they'll have Central Michigan, and then Notre Dame, and then Eastern Michigan. So out of those first four games, there's a good chance they could win three out of those first four, something like that. How do you see this Michigan State team basically faring overall for the season?
You know, I think that, you know, they could win all four of their non-conference games. I think they'll beat Boise State, although, you know, they're an excellent team. They're just so new. You know, they have all this talent that they're putting in, and they just have so many areas where they don't have the experience that they've had in recent years. So I have to think, you know, you win that game. And, you know, Notre Dame is the one game that I see that they might lose in the non-conference, but, you know, having them at home this time, and you know, you have that revenge factor of, you know, coming back from losing last year. So I think they'll put that one away as well. the season will come down to two games. It'll come down to the Michigan game and the Wisconsin game. Yeah, you win those two, and you're probably one of the top two or three teams in the country, and you're going off to a BCS game, the Rose Bowl at least, and you split those, and then you know, if Michigan State were to split those games, and that's probably likely that you win one of those games and lose one of them, then it's that tight three-way race, you know, between those three teams, and it'd be really interesting to see. I don't think there's a conference that has three players who have captured the imaginations of people as much as Michigan State and Wisconsin and Michigan have, with, you know, Monte Ball, who hopefully he's okay after, you know, what he went through with, he got roughed up. It sounds like, you know, some folks, you know, took it to him, and it seems like he was an innocent victim, but hopefully he'll be okay and ready to start the season. But he's just, you know, what he's done is just remarkable. I don't think he's gotten the national acclaim that you would expect for all that he's accomplished. And the Michigan, of course, with Denard Robinson, you know, such an exciting player that everybody likes to watch. And then William Golston at Michigan State, just such a beast on defense. He could be the best defensive player in the country. And those three, you know, it's just exciting to be covering this conference with that kind of talent and those kind of teams. And it'll be like a three-way heavyweight fight, you know, to see which one of them, you know, ends up being the dominant. Maybe there won't even be a dominant team. Maybe there'll just be the one that wins.
That's true. Yes, yeah. And we got to remember, too, one other player, Le'Veon Bell, is considered a dark horse candidate for the Heisman Trophy. So, you know, I guess he's being mentioned slightly.
Right.
So
that's a good point, Earl. That's a very good point. And they, you know, I would expect that he's going to be look to carry a much larger load than he has in the past, and get those extra carries that'll get his yardage totals up. That all of a sudden people, you know, if you're on one of the top 10 teams and you have, you know, you're 100 yards a game rusher, well, you know, you're going to get a lot of notice, and you're going to get it considered for a lot of awards.
Oh, that's for sure. So, yes, this Michigan State defense, it looks like they're going to be a great, great team. Like you say, they've got balance. They've got a lot of guys back, and they're very fast. They've gotten quicker over the year. The thing I used to always criticize Steve Michigan State about in the past was a lack of depth and a lack of quality depth, and now they've solved the depth problem. They've got good depth here, and I used to always be very critical of their lack of speed, and now they've got good speed here. I mean, it's a good solid team with depth and speed. So if they do get injuries, you know, it won't be a big fall off. I mean, as you know, there were days if they had one injury, you know, they say, well, you can forget the season. They're not like that anymore.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, you know, between, you know, 18 to 22 starters are back on, or not starters, 18 of 22 on the two deep are back on defense, and that's overwhelming to have that kind of experience back from a high quality unit. And then you get some new talent in there, and you get some players who develop, like Mekhijah Reynolds. D'Antonio's pretty excited about him, and it's a really exciting defense. And on top of that, you get into a game where, you know, it's probably gonna be hot Friday night, and it's probably gonna be hot some of these first afternoons in September. And not the depth not only helps you in terms of recovering from an injury, but now you can rotate players in there, and instead of having a big drop off when you rotate, there's little or no drop off.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I want to thank you for joining me. Good to talk to you again. I know I will see you at the game tomorrow night. It's going to be exciting season opener, and of course we got the new scoreboards and everything in Spartan Stadium, so it should be an exciting night in Spartan Stadium.
It should be. Great talking again, Earl. We'll definitely see you and everyone else at the stadium on Friday.
Okie dokie. Talk to you later, Steve. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Take care. And that's Steve Kornacki from Fox News Detroit, and talking sports with us right here on AM 870, 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
This is a unique moment for Mormons. As Mitt Romney runs for president, he brings more and more attention on the faith and the sometimes misunderstood Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There's a sense of vindication and inclusion and concerns as well. I'm Neil Conan. This Mormon Moment. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Our high today around 90 degrees with sunny skies. Tonight will be clear. Look for a low in the low 60s. Friday's outlook, sunny with a high of 91. Sunny again on Saturday, a little cooler with a high of 85. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, if you'd like to send us the email, is sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want a chance to win tickets, you still have a few minutes left, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, for your chance to win tickets to tomorrow night's game between Michigan State and Boise. And we'll give those tickets away later on today's edition of Sports Talk 870. Well, let's go back to our guest line. We've got our good friend Jim Comperoni from SpartanMag.com. Jim, how you doing, my man?
Great to be on your show. How you doing, man?
Oh, doing good. And, you know, I'm excited. Well, we're both excited. You know, we see each other all the time. It's always exciting when football season starts. It is just something about this first game and underneath the lights, the new scoreboards. This is really going to be an exciting game. It should be anyway.
Yeah, you know, there's been some interesting season openers here over the years. But, I don't know, I think you really have to go back all the way to 1987, the USC game, Labor Day weekend, a night game. It was brand new back then, the first ever night game.
Exactly.
And Michigan State was hoping to be on the national scene that year, although the year before they were kind of a disappointment. And there, you know, if you remember right, there was a little bit of pressure on Perlis going into that fifth year. So Michigan State, there was hope, there was talent, there were unknowns. This year there's hope, there's talent, but you're coming off two straight excellent seasons, and you're playing against a Boise team, which is had tremendous amounts of success to an historic level in recent years, and really, really still kind of a curiosity. And it's one of the top two or three games of the weekend, and Michigan State's trying to prolong their culture change and take next steps as a program. And the interesting thing here is, usually Boise State is trying to stake their claim against teams. They're trying to be the giant killer. They're trying to forward their brand by knocking teams off. I think this is the first time Boise State has played a team that it wants to use Boise in that regard. I think Michigan State wants to show what they are by playing in their minds, hopefully beating a team like Boise, with Michigan State having tremendous respect for Boise State. Now, I was not real close to the teams that Boise State has beaten. I wasn't covering them, but I'll bet, Earl, we all know that Oklahoma didn't fully respect them when they were beat by them in the bowl game. I don't think Oregon fully respected them when Oregon went out to Boise and got beat. Virginia Tech and Georgia, they probably did a little bit, but Georgia and those SEC teams, they're good, but they can get full of themselves. Like when Alabama lost to Utah in that bowl game, they can get full of themselves. Increasingly, I suspect those teams had more and more respect for Boise, but none of them had the respect for Boise that Michigan State has, and I think that plays to Michigan State's favor. In other words, the sneak-up factor is kind of dwindling a little bit, I would think.
I would say so, too. Hey, Jim, we got a caller for you on the line already. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Ron on the line. Ron, how you doing?
I'm great, Earl. Good to talk to you and Jim. Had a question in regards to the weather. Since this game is at home, Michigan State's going to have a larger contingent of players than the travel squad, and with the heat, I wondered if Jim thought that this would favor them very, very much. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen on the radio.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. The difference in player numbers is like 100 to about, 70?
70, yeah,
that. And you're usually not going to get beyond a 70th player. You're usually not going to get beyond a 50th player a whole lot. So, I don't think that'll have an impact. I do think Michigan State can go a little deeper, and I think they will a little bit on defense. There's going to be heat in the day, but I don't know if there's going to be heat at night. I don't know. Around here lately, it's been cool in the evening. I don't think we'll see the humidity. You know, they played Notre Dame back, I don't know what year that was. It might have been like 2001 or 2004, something like that. And it was a night game, and it was really hot that night. But usually in September, it's 90 and he's Lancy today, but it's getting down in the 60s at night. I don't think he's going to be a factor.
Yeah, Jim, and you know, I know if anybody knows anything about Boise State, I know you probably got no more than any of our colleagues and our friends. You try to watch as much film as you can, even though they don't have many players back. What do you expect? What do you expect to see from Boise State?
That's the whole thing. You know, right now I'm writing what we call the pre-snap read, which is a breakdown of the opponent. And the first game of the year is always difficult because we haven't seen either of these teams play. You know, I watched their bowl game against Arizona State a couple nights ago. Last night I watched their game against Georgia. I watched their game against Virginia Tech from 2 years ago, just to see from two different years to see how much their style of play changed when the team changed. I don't know what level of Boise State we're going to get. I don't know how close this Boise State team is going to come to duplicating what they've been the last 3 or 4 years. But the team and the program has gotten to the point where you almost expect them to reload. They've got all kinds of redshirt freshmen, a lot of experience, maybe not starters, but a lot of upperclassmen and juniors and seniors that have redshirted that have been waiting their turns. And I'm guessing they're going to look a lot like what we've seen. Now, they have to replace the winningest quarterback they've ever had. This guy that they put in, I mean, he was 14 out of 17 in their spring game. He's looked pretty good in the scrimmages. He's more athletic. Is he going to be Kellen Moore? I don't know. But I suspect he's going to be pretty good. Michigan State's got the same problem. I don't know if they're going to be as good as they have been. I think they're still going to be very good. But if Michigan State is fortunate enough to win, do not underestimate the achievement if they are able to beat Boise State. I think Boise State's going to be good, skilled, sharp, extremely well-coached. We've been hearing all week about how multiple they are. And Earl, I was watching their game against Arizona State. I watched it, then I watched it again. I'd have to go back and watch it a third time, but I'm 99% sure that they played the entire first half and never used the same formation twice.
Wow.
So it's one thing. It's not formations you've never seen before. You've seen it all, but you'll watch something and you're like, oh, I've seen Iowa do that. Oh, I've seen Nevada do that. Oh, that's spread like Northwestern. Oh, I've seen that. But they're different. They're different. Then they'll shift. Go unbalanced and have three offensive tackles on the field. One of them is a tight end, and he'll be unbalanced and he'll be ineligible. Then they'll shift out of that, and they'll run a tight end at a tackle spot, eligible as a receiver, confusing a defense, flood a three-man coverage, and bring someone wide open for a touchdown like they did when they went up 14-0 on Arizona State. It's not all about Statue of Liberty and reverse passes and that kind of trickery.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it's conventional. The thing that's impressive is that they can do so much and do so much of it well. You know, in college football, you only have so much meeting time.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get a guy experienced, he graduates on you. It's not like the NFL where you can keep Tom Brady for 10 years and just accumulate knowledge and have mini camps, and a playbook the size of a phone book. In college, you can't do that. And I think that was one of the downfalls of Charlie Weiss. He thought he could do that in college, but you can't do it. Well, Boise's doing it. And they're sharp, and as of last year, you know, they're doing it with a smattering of NFL talent. And all that aside, they're not just a finesse cotton candy team. Like, in all due respect, not like Northwestern. Northwestern just kind of tries to throw you around, play tag, play keep away, ring around the rosies, that type of thing. Boise has done all of this with the extensive package. And they also dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And they do it against Georgia. They do it against Oregon. Their entire D-line is in NFL camps this year. I mean, the way they stacked up the run against Georgia. Georgia got loose for one 80-yard run by that Boykins guy, their defensive back. They put him at running back. He's the same guy that returned the punt 90 yards against Michigan State. Crazy speed, like DeAndre Cobb's speed. Mm-hmm. They had that one run for 80 yards. I just looked at the stats a minute ago. For the rest of the day, Georgia ran the ball like 27 times for 50 yards. You know, Virginia Tech, their quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, got loose for some scrambles to run and some run-pass option keepers. But their best tailback, which is the way Michigan State plays, their best tailback was held to 2.1 yards per carry. Virginia Tech, okay? So Boise State, it's not like they're going to beat you 41-40 and let you score. They're stopping the run of Virginia Tech 2 years ago. Stopping the run of Oregon, stopping the run of Georgia. Earl, everyone knows when they beat Georgia last year, Georgia ended up being a real good team. Maybe they weren't as good early, but they stayed. I mean, they went up 28-7 in the third quarter on them It was no fluke. They were beating them.
Yeah.
And now, last year, you know, no one really knows what the computers would have said. But I think if they would have went undefeated, I think that would have been the year that they might have snuck into the title game, the national championship game. They lost at home by 1 point to TCU on a missed field goal. And they did not have their best running back that day. Their best running back became a first-round draft choice. Their running back gained 1,300 yards last year. So he's going to be the starting running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. Last year, he missed the game. They lose by a point to TCU, who's pretty good, who beat Wisconsin the year before. Now, I didn't think this before I started watching all this and doing the research and watching how good they are and looking at the individual personnel and how collectively how well-coached they are. But they would not have beaten Alabama last year. But I'm telling you what, if they would have gotten in that game, they would have given LSU everything they could handle. Now, that was last year. How close are they going to be to emulating that this year? I don't know. None of us know. They're going to be pretty good. They won't be that good. But I'm telling you right now, Michigan State would not have beaten Boise last year.
Yeah. Now, Jim, what about this Michigan State team? I know we've been hearing all spring long, ever since spring and during the summer and the drills now, how great this Michigan State defense is going to be. How, if you look at it, is there a way this Michigan State defense doesn't come to play? If they get beat, what will happen? What do you think will be going wrong with that Michigan State defense if somehow Boise State figures out a way to get them?
Well, listening to Max Bulla and Pat Narduzzi and those guys, they fully expect, and Johnny Adams, there is going to be a period of adjustment in this game. You don't know what Boise's going to do. Mm-hmm. They'll probably come out and do all of it. They could go no huddle. I tell you what, they started the second half. They're not like a no huddle team like Oregon that'll hurry it up.
Yeah.
That's not what they do. But, Earl, they can do it. Mm-hmm. And when they do it well. They started the second half against Georgia in no huddle. They ran about seven plays. Georgia's defense got gassed, got tired. They're tapping their helmet, trying to come out. Boise kept running plays and staying in bounds. And Georgia had to take a defensive timeout because they were tired 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the second half. You don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You don't know what button they're going to push, what lever they're going to pull. So Narduzzi and Bull and those guys, they're talking about there's going to be a period of adjustment. They think that Michigan State is well-suited for it because they play a base zone. You know, Michigan State's not a gambling man-to-man team. Boise can make gambling man-to-man teams pay for it. State will keep it in front of them. They got enough quickness. If you're reading their keys and reacting to the ball, you can get to it and get the ball on the ground and things like that. They just don't know how they're going to go about doing it. You know, like Narduzzi said yesterday, you know, they've got, you know, Max Bulla knows the game as well as anybody, and they've got all their automatics, how they're going to kick the front this way based on this shift and that shift. They know all that stuff. And Narduzzi said, now, you know, 10 plays into the game, that might all go out the window because you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But if as good as Michigan State is individually and collectively and what they've been on defense in the past, you can still kind of get, you know, caught with your pants down a little bit the first 10 minutes of a game. You know, we've seen Michigan State really get on the ropes in the first 10 minutes against Notre Dame, against Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin just goes up and down the field on them. Wisconsin doing it in a different way. But Wisconsin, it was subtle, but they changed up what they did also. So you have to make that adjustment. And I think Michigan State will be capable of making adjustments. But you asked if Michigan State, with all their talent and prowess on defense, has a tough time. That's how it can start, is just that period of adjustment early, not knowing exactly what they're going to do, and just hoping your base and your automatics and things like that can catch them a little bit. So it's going to be a supreme challenge, Earl. It's going to be a big game and a difficult game.
Yes, because I was thinking just when you were answering that question about, you know, Andrew Maxwell, a new quarterback. He's had to learn a whole new system. As you know, when we were at the press conference on Tuesday, I asked him, does he really fully understand the audible system? And he says he's very confident. He believes he knows the audible system because he might have to call a lot of audibles, and that's going to be a big part of the Michigan State offense. It was very successful. Kirk Cousins was very successful because he knew the audible system very well, and he says he really knows it. So I guess we'll have to wait to see that. But, you know, however Andrew Maxwell performs will have a great deal to go with how this Michigan State team performs and if they win the game or not.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the great sport of football, every domino leads to another domino. And if Michigan State's having trouble on defense, that puts more pressure on Maxwell.
Yes.
And if Michigan State's not running the ball well, that puts more pressure on Maxwell. So you need Maxwell's good. He's competent. He's more than competent. He'll be excellent. There'll be a few more butterflies because he's never done it before. I think he'll do real well if Michigan State gets off to a good start, gets up 7-0, 10-3, something like that, and they can get into a rhythm. If there's early panic, it's going to be tough. I do give Michigan State credit with Kirk Cousins. Maybe it was a Cousins thing. Maybe it's a program thing. They've gotten behind in games and made some great comebacks.
That's true.
For 20 or 30 years, if Michigan State got down by 10 points, forget it. It's over. I mean, they're getting down to Wisconsin 14-0. They've been down to a number team, 16-0 to Georgia. The mentality and their ability to make comebacks has been tremendous, unique in recent years. Does that continue without Kirk Cousins? I think maybe. I think there's a mindset there. I think that part of the culture has changed. But, of course, Maxwell's going to have to be doing it with unproven receivers, talented receivers. I tell you what else, over the last 2 years, how many dropped passes have you seen at Michigan State? Like zero, right?
Yep.
I mean, zero. That's not going to keep up.
That's true.
You got to have dropped. It's going to happen. So when that happens, don't dismiss these players as rubbish. That's just football and percentages and the real world. Is it going to happen when you're down 17-7 and needing a drive in the third quarter when the ball's getting tighter? I don't know. Everything about Boise State last year was excellent. You're talking about audibles, talking about them being multiple. They're multiple on defense, too. That's where calling all audibles are important. They'll come out, they'll play a 30 front with an old-fashioned nose tackle over the center and a zero technique, playing two-gap, physical, and they'll do that well, which is kind of the style Alabama does a little bit and other teams do. The very next down, they'll be in a 4-3 over, which is the way Michigan State does it. And like Dave Warner, the quarterback's coach, says, I don't know how they do all those fronts and all those coverages and do them well, but they do it well. And that's getting back to the phone book thing. In college, usually you pick one thing and try to do it well.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do everything well, and they do it on defense as well as offense. So the audibles, you come up to the ball and they're at a 30 front, you could have a run play call that might be, better for a 4-3 over. You're going to have to change to get into the right play. It might still be a running play, but you're going to have to make those changes. Maxwell's a smart guy. He's been around for a long time. He's not being rushed into this job as an emergency. He's been prepped for it for a long time. They've seen all that and worked against it. You have to do well against that, and I think Michigan State, or you have to be able to handle those changes well. I think Maxwell, even though he's never started the game, I think mentally he'll be okay in terms of managing the game in that respect.
Okay. Hey, if you want to find out more information about Michigan State, just go to SpartanMag.com. Hey, Jim, what else do you have to tell us about? I know, like you say, you've been writing deadlines. They go to SpartanMag.com, find out more information. Where else can they go to get information?
SpartanMag.com specializes in recruiting coverage and day-to-day coverage of Michigan State with the press conferences and the message boards and all those things. The pre-snap read that I do is something for Spartan Plus, which is an email type of thing. It's an e-newsletter we've been doing since 1996. It predates SpartanMag.com. So it's a little bit more farther off the beaten path. And all these things I'm talking about, I'll get into in that. And that's called Spartan Plus. So if you go to SpartanMag.com and go on the message boards and ask about Spartan Plus, it's in there. You can find out that way. Or just Google Spartan Magazine in a roundabout way. That'll take you to the things that we do.
Okay. Hey, Jim, it's good talking with you, buddy, and I will see you at the game tomorrow night, my friend.
I appreciate it, Earl. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. And that's Jim Caperoni talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR East Lansing.
As the bloody civil war rages in Syria, Turkey warns of a growing refugee crisis and calls on the UN to establish a safe zone. France promises to recognize an interim government. I'm Neil Conan, Diplomacy and Syria, plus Murray Horowitz with the best movies ever about the news business. Email us your nominee, talk@npr.org, and join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl. Here's the weather forecast. It'll be sunny today. We're expecting a high of 90 degrees. Overnight, it'll be clear and the low will be 62. Sunny with a high of 91 tomorrow and sunny with a high of 85 expected Saturday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, you know, the big question is Andrew Maxwell ready to play football? Is he ready for tomorrow night's season opener? Here's what we heard from the quarterback coach, Dave Warner, who coaches Maxwell up about, is Andrew Maxwell ready? Because that was the question everybody's been asking.
He's really had a very good camp. I guess probably I think his arm strength has gotten better. He's really throwing the ball with a lot of zip. So I think that's the one thing. But, I mean, he's just all around. He's had a good camp. I mean, he's made very good decisions in the past game. He's been very accurate. So hopefully we can put it together come game situation.
And also, Coach Warner also asked about the Boise State situation and how is Boise State and what is he looking for from Boise State?
They're very multiple, I guess, is the big thing. You know, they're going to, at least in the past, they've shown a lot of different fronts. They've shown a lot of different coverages. They've shown a lot of different pressures. But we go against a lot of stuff with our defense every day. So, you know, I think we're used to about anything. But I think that just the how multiple they are is the one thing that we have to be prepared for, to, you know, in our pass protections and our run game, the possible checks and so forth, we need to be prepared for.
Okay, and then we had a chance to talk with Max Bulla about the Michigan State defense, and we asked him his view on the Michigan State and on Boise State's team.
A lot, you know. We've pretty much watched, you know, we've watched a lot of film so far. Obviously, there's still more to be watched and more to be reviewed, you know. But for the most part, we've watched everything that we're going to watch at least one time, and now it's just about following up and remembering it.
Yes, that's the key, remembering it and try to remember all those different adjustments and that you're going to have to adjust to and see from Boise State. It's going to be quite a challenge for Michigan State. Try to remember all the different formations and everything that they're going to see. Well, we also had a chance to talk with receiver Benny Fowler, who's going to play a big part in this game, should be one of the key receivers. And we asked Fowler, he said he's renewed his dedication after his injury last year.
Yeah, I have become more mature. I mean, this is my fourth summer. And, you know, time is flying by. And me being injured last year, you know, kind of showed me that I'm going into my senior year academically. So, you know, time is flying by. So, you know, I had to come in, put extra work in, you know, show the team and staff that I'm dedicated to this game.
Yes, and we also had a chance to talk a little bit more with Makaja Reynolds. And we asked him what he thought about the Boise State team.
You know, Boise, the thing about them is they do a lot of different things. They do a lot of different things. But I think that one thing about us is that we'll have a lot of counters for what they do. We've been studying a lot of film. We have a pretty good idea of what they'll do when they do certain shifts and what they'll do in certain down and distance and in certain situations. And I think that, you know, the knowledge that Coach Gill has given us over these last few weeks and really over the summer in preparing for this type of team, who, you know, is known for taking out big schools and known for taking out programs that are doing really well in top 25 and everything at the beginning of the season, we'll be prepared and we'll be ready.
Okay, and then we had the chance to talk to one more player, offensive lineman Foe Finuti, who came here, was a starter last year, came in as a junior college transfer, and I asked him what was the difference between last year and this year?
For you, between last year and this year?
Just comfortability. Last year, you know, just really struggled with it being my first year. You know, a lot of terminology. Just trying to balance, you know, the whole, you know, how school works out with hearing and means and stuff. So being able to have my feet wet and go into my second year has really helped me transition with every team. So I'm able to take a lot of things and not stress so much. So, you know, I just feel, you know, comfortability has really been the thing that from compared to last year, this year is really, really different.
Has that been able to make you a lot faster, do things at a quicker pace?
In due time it does, but I just feel, you know, I know the plays and stuff like that. So there is, you know, sometimes there's still some thinking, but not as much as last year. Last year, you know, I found myself, you know, just overthinking a lot of things, you know, just thinking the play and, you know, second guessing myself. But, you know, leaning on the coaches and, you know, the offensive line and Coach D, you know, when you're in your stance, you stay calm and collective and, you know, I just feel great about that.
Okay, and now, and that was our was offensive lineman Afoe Fanuti. Well, we're going to try to give away the tickets coming up, and we'll do that soon here. And Aaron, you can draw the numbers and draw one out and see if, who the winner is. And we'll do that, and then we'll tell you how to. You have to come here at WKAR and pick the tickets up, and we'll tell you how to do that right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. So, Aaron, while you're doing that, I want to look over and go over a few of the high school games in the Mid-Michigan area coming up this evening. A lot of good games in the Mid-Michigan area. I'll just name a few of them. Bath at Fulton, Chelsea at East Lansing, Corunna at St. John's, Dansville at Saranac. The game I'm going to is this one, DeWitt at Everett. That should be a very good game. You have Eastern at Lowell, Eden Rapids at Mason, then Hazlett at Okemos. That's going to be a huge game between two of the better teams in the Mid-Michigan area. And you have Holland West Ottawa at Grand Ledge, Jackson Northwest at Waverly, and Lanesburg at Fowler, Lakewood at Belding, Lansing Catholic Central at Saginaw Novell Catholic, Leslie will be at Stockbridge, Owosso at Portland, Potterville at PW, and Williamston at Fowlerville. So those are some of the games in the Mid-Michigan area, some of the games that if you want to get out and see a good high school game tonight, well, you have your chance, because there is a lot of good high school ball played here in the Mid-Michigan area. And that, we don't know who will be standing at the end of the year, but I'm quite sure we'll see a few of those teams in the state championships in the playoffs, that's for sure. Well, Aaron, do we have a winner there?
Yes, we do. Do you have a drum roll?
Okay,
yeah, there we go. Our lucky winner today is Eric from East Lansing, so congratulations to Eric.
Okay, well, congratulations to Eric, and you can give them a call, and hopefully he'll be there, and we'll tell him how to go about picking up his tickets between today and tomorrow. You have to pick your tickets up by 5 o'clock tomorrow, and so you'll be able to enjoy going to the game tomorrow night. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We've heard from a lot of the Michigan State players, coaches over the last couple of days, and always good to hear from coaches and players. So, and make, hopefully you're ready for the game. That's the key. Hopefully you're ready and be out there in the game. It's going to be interesting to see how the sound, how it sounds tomorrow night, because with the large scoreboards up, that's going to block off letting a lot of the sound get outside the stadium. So the sound inside the stadium should be pretty loud, should almost be deafening, because that sound shouldn't get outside very much. There won't be a lot of ways for the sound to go out. So it'll be interesting to see how loud it will be in there. Scheduled to have a full house tomorrow night between Michigan State and Boise State. It should be an exciting atmosphere for football. So if you're a football fan, you want to get to the game. And as I say each and every year, if you want to get tickets to the game, there's always people outside the stadium selling tickets. So you can always get a ticket to the game. You know, that's the way to go. Go up to someone. And if you wait, and let me give you a little tip. If you wait till after the game has started, you can buy the tickets a little bit cheaper than you do if you want it. If you just got to see the kickoff. I mean, some people love to see the kickoff. Me, I wouldn't care. I might not get in there for the first 2 or 3 minutes. So I'd just wait till after the kickoff's made and buy the tickets. But hey, that's the way you do. If you want to buy tickets from someone buying tickets at the stadium, you know, just wait as late as you can. There's always people outside the stadium selling tickets. I mean, I've never been to a game in all my years here where I haven't seen someone is trying to sell some tickets outside the stadium. So, Aaron, you can, if you need a ticket, you can always buy one if you need to go that way and buy one from somebody out there selling tickets.
Well, yeah. Are you going to be out there selling tickets yourself?
If I had a few, I would.
If you had a few, yeah. You're getting in, though, so you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry.
Yeah. I would have to. I'll be there. I'll be in the game watching it. But, yeah, some people, you know, they'll have to go out there and buy some. And there's always chances, that's for sure, if you want to go to the game if you don't have a ticket. So we're just trying to give you a little hint. If you are looking for tickets, you know, you can certainly go that route.
Yeah, I mean, if you need tickets and you really want to go badly, sometimes you might have to pay a little bit more. But you, like you said, if you wait, The price might go down. I don't know what the ticket economy pricing is this year, but
yeah, it might be a little cheaper this year.
Yeah, it might be. But first game of the season, a night game. I don't know. Yeah. They might charge you a little bit more.
Yes. Now I'm wondering what people will be paying down at the Lions game. It's the last preseason game. It's a home game. I'm not sure they'll have a big crowd for that last Lions game, last home game of the preseason games. So I'll be interested to see what that is. But, you know, that's going to be something to follow this year, the Lions. And I always sort of like this last game because everybody's really going to do their darndest to make the roster. I mean, we'll see guys really playing hard, trying to make that roster, trying to make the 53-man roster. I always hate it, you see the cuts and the guys, the 53-man roster will be made after they make the cuts tonight. And then you think you're on the team, you're feeling good about yourself, and then lo and behold, they pick up somebody else because they think it better. And then you get cut after you thought you'd made the roster. That happens to some people. I really feel bad for those guys when that happens, though, because, you know, you're always looking to improve your roster. So even if you've got that, you're down on that 53, don't be so sure, because you might have been that 52nd or 53rd guy on the roster. They're always looking to improve the back end of the roster.
Yeah, I mean, you could try your butt off and work really hard, and you could still get cut. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I mean, there's always someone out there that you might not know that exists, that, you know, that could, look at this guy. It's better than, our number 52, number 53, or 54th player on the roster. And so they go ahead and pick someone else up. And all that work you just put in, it felt like, it just went down the drain. But, that's how life is. That's how the sport works, unless you're Calvin Johnson or, Stafford, that you're guaranteed a spot on the team. Well, sometimes you got to step it up and even work harder than what you're expected to.
Yes, because like we say with the Lions, for example, let's say if you're one of the cornerback, we know the Lions need cornerbacks or defensive backs, and then you've made the roster as a defensive back, but someone gets released from another team that had too many defensive backs and maybe had a few more quality defensive backs, and you pick up that guy, and then you're out looking for a job because you thought you had played well enough to make that roster, and then you find out you get cut for somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way the business goes. I mean, sometimes, though, Detroit might pick them up on the practice squad or something like that, but maybe another team, it could go the other way. Another team that, didn't have hardly any quality defensive backs or maybe cornerbacks or whatever the case would be, maybe they, the Lions release someone, pick up someone better, and then that guy goes from the Lions to another team. So, there's plenty of teams in the NFL. There's not a whole lot of spots open, but if you work hard, that's the key. I mean, you just got to work hard, show that you want to be there. Even if you get cut, that's good for another team. That looks good for another team if something happens. But it also looks good, if you're sitting around on your couch during the middle of the season, someone gets injured. We've seen it 100 times. I mean, you can get a phone call one day in the middle of the day. Hey, you want to be on our team this week? Oh, great. Pack
the
bags.
That happened to Keith Smith. That happened to him because he was cut last year, didn't play, and he got picked up at the end of this last year and came back and made a pretty good impression for himself.
Yeah, he had a pretty, just coming off the couch there, that was pretty decent. So, you never know. You never want to give up, so you always work hard. And, I think, I'm drawing a blank here, the running back that we just, Smith.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of had his injuries, but he worked hard, got back, and now he's back on the team, and hopefully he can make a difference this year. But it's just the way it goes sometimes. So
exactly, and that's the way it is. I mean, in football, just think if you're a running back or a receiver, and you've made the team, you've become a valuable part of the team. You're as a running back or receiver, and then you get cut, or somebody else comes along, and they look at them and they think they're better, and then you get placed on the sideline just because the other guy, they believe the perception is in their mind that they've seen this other guy is better than you, and that's got to be an awful hard pill to swallow when you don't know. You probably think you're better than this other guy or better than someone, but the management who makes the decisions, they may think otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I think every player knows that any time there could be a possible situation where there's someone better that could take your position. But, sometimes talent isn't always everything. I mean, there's certain tangibles that, whether it's leadership or, whatever the case may be, that, you know, you may not be the best player on the field, but maybe you mesh well with the other players on the field and off the field.
Yeah, that chemistry.
That chemistry that somehow sometimes just works well together. That happens too. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in just working hard and never giving up. So, if as long as the players continue to do that, those that are, you know, kind of on the cut line, usually good things will happen for them.
But think of this. If you are playing at a Michigan State or a Michigan or Ohio State or something, you go from a starter. You might have been a big star in college, and now you're just a guy on the end of the bench. You're just trying to make special teams. You go from a starter just to being a special teams player. That's got to be a big come down in your mind if you think, hey, I was a big star in college. I did all these things for the college team, and now I can't even make it. I just can barely hold on to be good enough to make the roster on an NFL team. That has to be a big come down.
Yeah, well, welcome to life, buddy. You know, it's you're right. It's got to be a little detrimental to their sort of I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is, but if you're starting in college and then you get to an NFL team and you're, like you said, you're on the special team squad or maybe just barely making the special team squad. The fact is that, you know, you're competing against guys that have been in the league for, you know, 5-10 years that have experienced well beyond what you had. College and pro game is completely different. Obviously there's a lot of similarities, but there's just certain things that you got to adjust to. So there's guys that have been there for years that know how to do certain things that you just don't know how. So sometimes it takes time. But I think most players are able to adjust that, as we've learned, though. Some players can't. It's difficult for them to do that. But those are the guys that usually hold out for a lot of money and, comes back to bite them in the butt.
Hey, now, are you going to go to many high school games? I know you don't live in the area, but are you going to try to get any games in the area?
Yeah, I'll try. I'll have to see what the schedule's like, and maybe I can go along with you to some of these games and see some of the talent around the area. How's the talent looking around this year?
We got some pretty good teams in the area. We do. We really have some good teams in the area. I know a few of them are going to make the playoffs. You have to win six games or at least five to have a chance of making the playoffs, depending on the numbers, of course. But you win six games, you're in. And we've got some teams that are very talented, should make it into the playoffs, and we'll be looking at those as the season goes along. We'll keep an eye on these teams to get off to a good start. East Lansing's pretty good. They've got some very talented players over there. I saw them last week. We know Ithaca's going to be in the playoffs. They've won two state titles in a row, and they're going for their third state. Be the first time team in the Michigan State history that can win three state titles in a row, back to back to back to back, since they expanded the format since 1999. So this team will be, if Ithaca gets in again, I'm assuming they will. I wouldn't see them in their first week, and they were very impressive. They were like in mid-season form already. So when teams get that good and they are that tough, boy, they're going to be hard to beat. And that Ithaca team is going to be extremely hard to beat. A very good team, and they're going to be previewing their new stadium, the improvements they made in their stadium tonight. So good Ithaca team, so they'll be able to go and see them. And there are so many teams in the area, and we'll talk about them more next week, and that's it. But we'll be back tomorrow talking about that Michigan State-Boise State game right here on AM 870. We'll also talk with Bob Winowski tomorrow, the columnist for the Detroit News. We'll talk with Bob about the tomorrow night's game. He'll probably be here for tomorrow night's game. We'll also talk with Drew Sharp and Jack Ebling tomorrow, and we'll talk with them for a bit. So that's some of the things we'll talk about tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. Make sure you come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.